Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. I'm excited today because it is Monday and we get to hear from Queen Ivy. She brings in the prayer and the meditation. What a power and a blessing to have her presence, be a part, and cross the path of the Love Journey. We're going to start off with a song, Testify by Diane Lee. And then we're going to have Queen Arlene bring the prayer and meditation. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey. Because of all the places you could have been, you chose to be right here. Just testify.
Whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you planned them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention.
Give yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself.
with amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, because yesterday made me who I am today.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. Welcome to a new day where all things are washed away. I am so excited because we are going to hear from our Queen Arlene. I'm going to turn it over to you, Queen Arlene. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning, Love Journey family. So let's go ahead and get started. And I want you to take three cleansing breaths. And I want you to see in your mind's eye that the breath that you are inhaling, you are breathing in the primordial energy of life. So go ahead and think of that. And exhale. Okay. And be there just by touches. Four. Exhale. And five. Your arms, your chest, Feel it. You'll see that golden beam of light come back towards you through the earth's layers. Up to the soles of your feet, this golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Every energetic aspect of yourself is brought into complete alignment with how Source sees you, as whole, perfect, and complete. Through the soles of your feet, your legs, your calves, your knees, this golden beam of light and everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Every energetic aspect of yourself is brought into alignment with how Source sees you. Calves, this golden beam of light. You'll go up your hips, your fingertips, your torso, this golden beam of light. And every energetic aspect of yourself is brought into alignment with wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Feel it go up your chest, up your arms, to your shoulders, this golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Feel it go up the neck, up your face, inside and out, this golden beam of light, up through the crown of your head. Now allow yourself to stay here for a moment. Allow yourself to feel the deep love that the source of creation has for you. Allow your thoughts to be transformed into the thoughts of how Source sees you. Allow yourself and allow your thoughts to be transformed into the thoughts of how Source sees you as whole, perfect, and complete. Now, take that golden beam of light and expand it out through your aura, through all of your bioenergetic field. Allow it to expand and surround your community. And they too are brought into complete alignment with how Source sees them. Allow this golden beam of light to spread throughout the country. And they too are brought into complete alignment with how Source sees them. Now allow yourself to see that golden beam of light surround our earth and everyone within the earth is transformed into how Source sees them as whole, perfect, and complete. Ourselves that is not in alignment with how Source sees us is transformed. Father, Mother God, illuminate the divine I am that is within us. Let everyone within the sound of my voice see themselves as you see them, whole, perfect, and complete. Bring healing and wholeness to the mind. Bring healing and wholeness to the bodies. Bring healing and wholeness to the spirits. And bring healing and wholeness to our finances and any aspect of our lives. We are looking to transform. Reveal to us what needs to be changed and released. Dissolve the fear, dissolve the doubt, dissolve the resistance, dissolve the feelings of undeservedness. Let us stand and feel and know that all is well. Let us stand and feel your presence. Let the illumination of your grace fill us. Help us to release our expectations of what our lives should look like, because your dream for our lives is bigger than what we can dream for ourselves. Help us to surrender and trust in you, God. Let us resonate with the whole perfectness and completeness of the I Am. And if there is anything within this prayer that is missing, please take it out of our consciousness and put it on my altar seat and make it manifest to your divine will. I say this through the consciousness of Christ. Amin, Ashe, and so it is.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was a powerful prayer. Ooh, you, girl, I got tears in my eyes. That was so good. That was so good. Thank you so much. This is Queen Amin, and if you want to contact Queen for anything, she's also a radio host on Blog Talk. Can you give them your information, Queen?
Yes. If anybody is interested in consultation, call at 3-7-9.
You're getting low. We can't hear you.
If anybody needs a consultation, they can reach me at area code 973-885-6930. Again, that number is area code 973-885-6930. Or they can reach me through Facebook. My name is Arlene Kahet. That's K-A-H-E-T. And we have a show coming up on November 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time One Love, One Connection with Us that I host with Reverend Harvey L. Bailey. And the show is called Don't Delude Yourself and Believe the Truth. And the phone number for that show is area code 646-929-0630. Again, that number is area code 646-929-0630. In addition to doing consultations, I also do energy healing. And please feel free to call me. And thank you so much for letting me be of service to you.
All right. Thank you, Arlene. That was a beautiful, powerful presence of a prayer. It spoke to every cell in my body. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me to be of service.
All right. Good morning, family. You tuned in to Love Journey, another episode of The Love Journey. And this happens to be one of my favorite subjects. We are going to be in the mood of the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. I love this because the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous came to my mind in the middle of the night. And I started to think about, you know, we see these millionaires, we see all these wonderful superstars, and sometimes we only believe that money can be made and be rich. I mean, and be famous, but we can also be rich and not so famous. And so I thought, man, what a great thing to highlight. People, ordinary people doing extraordinary things, making lots of money or made lots of money, and we get the opportunity to expose them and give them a platform. Some living and some not living today. But today I'm going to tell you about the real first African-American woman who was a self-made millionaire. Oh, my gosh. She don't have, Mary Kay didn't have nothing on her. And I tell you, so many times we hear that Madam C.J. Walker was the first self-made millionaire, but this lady who I'm going to tell you about today actually trained Madam C.J. Walker. So let me just tell you, welcome to another episode of The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. All right, so I guess some of you all may know because I've talked about this lady many times because I was just fascinated by her story. I know you heard of Oprah Winfrey. Yes, sure, who hasn't? How about Madam C.J. Walker? No brainer. I could see heads nodding up and down all over the place. But how about Annie Malone? Maybe some blank stares, silence, crickets, chirping. Never heard of her. Well, she is who we are featuring on The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous today. And let's talk about some of the things she accomplished before I get into her story. You know, in the 20s, 1920s, 30s, and 40s, with new freedom came business, financial success for many women in Missouri. One of the nation's wealthiest African Americans at that time was Annie Malone, founder and owner of Poro College. And it was a cosmetic firm that started right there in St. Louis and later occupied an entire city block right here in Chicago. I bet you didn't know that. Let's talk about some of the highlights we're going to go over. Annie was one of the first in Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. Annie paid over $40,000 in taxes alone in 1926. Annie owned a whole city block in Chicago. Annie's philanthropy was legendary. Did you know Annie gave diamond rings for 5 years of service? Annie gave cash awards for savings account and home purchases. Annie trained well over 75,000. Women entrepreneurs. Let me say that again. 75,000 women entrepreneurs. I tell you, Mary Kay didn't have nothing on her. Annie trained Madam C.J. Walker to be a Poro agent. Now, perhaps you've never heard of Annie before. It's not, I'm sure it's of you in a plenty good company. But most today, I want you to know something about our own history. And especially if you're in the African-American hair care or cosmetic industry, Annie is the mother of what you are doing. Let me say that again. How many Mary Kay agents on this line? How many women do hair? How many women in cosmetics? And if you are, let me tell you, Annie is the mother of what you are doing. you're about to meet one of the most remarkable women that touched the planet, in my opinion. You see, yet before Madam Walker, Rosa Parks, Mary McLeod Bethune, Oprah Winfrey, or even Kathy Hughes, there was an Annie Turnbull Malone, also known as Madame Poiret, a remarkable woman who made her mark during the early 20th century. Wow. In the first three decades of the 20th century, she found and developed a large and prominent commercial and educational enterprise centered around cosmetics for African-American women. Annie was born in Metropolis, Illinois, to former slaves. She was the 10th of the 11 children born to Robert Turnbull, a poor farmer, and Isabella Cook Turnbull, because her parents died when she was young. You see, Annie was raised by her older sister in nearby Peoria, Illinois. She was a sickly child. She missed a lot of school, which resulted in her in having to withdraw before even completing high school. Now, did you hear me? She had to withdraw before even completing high school. While she was coming of age, the popular style among black women was that of a straight hair. Look, black women were starting to turn their backs on the braided cornrow styles that they associated with the fields of slavery and began to embrace a look which for them meant freedom, progression toward equality in America. While in Peoria, Malone took an early interest in hair textures. She took an early interest in hair textures. In the 1890s, being a lover of styling hair, Annie began to envision a way of straightening hair without having to use the methods of old, which included using soap, goose fat, heavy oils, butter and bacon grease, or the carding combs of sheep. She also witnessed method of hair straightening, which employed lye, sometimes mixed with potatoes, but was turned off by the procedure because it often resulted in damaged scalp and broken hair follicles. Coupled with the influence of her aunt, who was a herbal doctor, her knowledge of chemistry, Annie Turnbull developed a chemical which could be used to straighten hair without causing damage to the hair or the scalp. And by the time she was in her late 20s, Turnbull had developed a straightening solution which would grant her entry into the annals of hair care history. And by the beginning of the 1900s, Annie Malone began to revolutionize hair care methods for all African Americans. Armed with this revolutionary formula and a product she called the Great Wonderful Hair Grower, Annie moved to St. Louis in 1902. She hired some assistants and began selling her products door to door. Word of her products and teaching methods spread like wildfire, and soon her products and her poro methods of styling hair was a success. And let's think about this. Malone called poro, which was a West African male secret or devotional society, an organization located throughout Liberia and Sierra, dedicated to discipline, embracing the body spiritually and physically. There were some elements of the term that seemed to indicate beauty. And even though it was not in vogue during that era, Annie wanted to connect her poro agents to their African roots. And this was her way of doing that. She and her assistant sold her unique brand of hair care products door to door. Malone believed that if African American women could improve their physical appearance, they would gain greater self-respect and achieve success in even the other areas of their life. So by 1902, Malone's business growth led her to St. Louis, Missouri, which at the time held the fourth largest population of African Americans. In St. Louis, she copyrighted her Poro brand beauty products. In 1914, in a St. Louis wedding, Malone married the school principal and former Bible salesman, Aaron Eugene Malone. And by 1917, as the United States entered World War I, Annie Malone had become so successful that she founded and opened a place called Poro College. It was the first educational institution in the United States, and it was dedicated to studying and teaching of blacks cosmetology. The school reportedly graduated over 75,000 agents worldwide, including the Caribbean. You see, this school employed nearly 200 people, and its curriculum included instructions to train students on personal style to present themselves at work, walking and talking, and style of dress designed to maintain a solid public persona. The Poro College building was later purchased by St. James African American Methodist Episcopal Church and demolished in 1965 to construct the James House. Now, the black philanthropist, by 1926, the college employed 175 people, franchised outlets in North and South America, Africa, and the Philippines. She employed some 75,000 women. Malone had become a wealthy woman. The Philadelphia Tribune reported that in 1923, listen to this, y'all, Annie Malone paid the highest income tax of any African-American in the country. For instance, her 1924 income tax payment totaled nearly $40,000. However, despite her wealth, Malone lived conservatively and gave away much of her fortune to help other African Americans. She is one of the first major black philanthropists. A $25,000 donation from Malone helped build the St. Louis Colored YWCA. And from 1919 to 1943, Malone served as board president of the St. Louis Colored Orphans Home. And during this time, she raised most of the orphanage's construction costs. She had donated the first $10,000 to build the orphanage's new building in 1919. With her help in 1922, it bought a facility at 2612 Annie Malone Drive, formerly known Gould Avenue. It continues to serve from the historic Villa neighborhood. Upgrading and expanded, the facility was renamed in her honor as the Annie Malone Children and Family Service Center in 1946. Wow. You see, Malone donated large sums to countless charities. During the 1920s, Malone's her philanthropy included financing the education of 2 full-time students in every historically black college and university in the country. Let's say that again. Now, check this out. In 1920, Malone's philanthropy included financing the education of 2 full-time students in every historically black college and university in the country. Her $25,000 donation to Howard University was among the largest gifts the university had received by a private donor of African descent at that time. She also contributed to the Tuskegee Institute. Malone was very generous with family and employees. She educated many of her nieces and nephews and bought homes for her brothers and sisters. She awarded employees with lavish gifts for attendance, punctuality, service, anniversaries, and as awards for investing in real estate. Malone also gave generously of her time in the community. She was president of the Colored Woman Federated Clubs of St. Louis, an executive committee member of the National Negro Business League, and the Commission on Interracial Cooperation. She was a lifelong Republican and a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Annie was also an honorary member of the Zeta Phi Beta, founded in January 16, 1920, on the campus of Howard University in Washington, D.C. You see, tens of thousands of women were trained in the Poro system. But there was also a famous male student who was born in St. Louis in 1926. And then Bruce Pegg states in his book, Brown-Eyed Handsome Man, The Life and Hard Times of Chuck Berry, that almost every day as a child growing up on Gould Avenue, Chuck Berry would have walked past the stately columns of the St. Louis Colored Orphans Home. And on the block next to Berry's family home, later Chuck trained as a beautician. Now we know how his hair looked like that. Trained as a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952, aside from the fact that he was following his sister Thelma and Lucy. There was another compelling reason for Berry to consider cosmetology as a career. By this time, both Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker had vividly shown nearly every black community across the country hairdressing was a vital means to economic independence. You see, Frederick Douglass, the former slave and abolitionist, had noted the significance of the occupation to blacks when he wrote an editorial in 1853 titled Learn Trades or Starve, arguing that blacks could gain greater economic independence if they were given the opportunity to perfect useful skills. One historian stated barbershops and beauty parlors were independent businesses with a steady clientele and as such were important expressions of black entrepreneurial activities. Cutting hair and cosmetology was recession-proof. It was simply another extension of Booker T. Washington's philosophy of economic independence. And as such would have been a tremendously attractive occupation to Chuck Berry at the time. But we all know what happened to his music career in 1958 when Johnny B. Goode hit the charts. Johnny B. Goode, ever wonder why Goode was spelled that way? Since Chuck Berry lived at 2520 Goode Street for the first 5 years of his life, he got the word Goode from the street in St. Louis, where he grew up, next block over from the orphan's home. Who was started at the orphan by Annie. One can only imagine how many times he had walked by the orphan's home in the early years of his life. In 1986, Gould Street was renamed Annie Malone Drive. So let's talk about the decline of Annie's marriage and business. And this is the reason why we probably didn't really get to know Annie. You see, Malone's generosity raised her stature in the community, but also contributed to the financial decline of her business. While she was spending time on civic affairs and distributing her wealth to various organizations, she left the day-to-day affairs of the business in the hands of a manager, including her husband. And some of these managers were inexperienced or dishonest, intentionally leading this dismantling of her business empire. For the next 6 years leading up to 1927, Annie and Aaron Malone became embroiled in a power struggle over control of the Poro business. The struggle was kept quiet until 1927 when Aaron Malone filed for divorce and demanded half the business. He claimed that Poro's success was due to contacts he brought to the company. He courted black leaders and politicians who sided with him in a highly publicized divorce. Annie Malone's devotion to black women and charitable institutions led poor workers and church leaders to support her. She also had the support of the press and Mary McLeod Bethune, president of the National Association of Colored Women. Having the support of so powerful a woman helped Annie Malone prevail in this dispute and allow her to keep her business, but she negotiated a settlement of $200,000. You see, in 1930, entering her 60s, Malone moved her business to Chicago, where its location became known as the Poro Block. Her financial trouble continued when she became the target of a lawsuit, one of the largest lawsuits, including one by a former employee who claimed credit for her success. And when the suit was settled in 1937, she was forced to sell the St. Louis property. Malone's business was further crippled by enormous debt to the government for unpaid real estate and excise taxes. You see, the federal government required a 20% tax on luxuries, including hair care products, during the 1920s. In 1943, during the middle of World War II, she owed almost $100,000 and was served a lien by the Internal Revenue Service. After fighting the lawsuit for 8 years, she lost Poro to the government and other creditors, who by 1951 took control of her business enterprise, selling off most of the holdings to pay taxes. She suffered financially from the devastating divorce, her second, and soon thereafter by two civil lawsuits, all during the Great Depression. You see, the lawsuits were for liability to an employee in the St. Louis newspaper, partially crippled her ability to conduct business. But Annie Malone's legacy, credit where credit is due, Malone's business failures tarnished her image. Her former employee, Madam C.J. Walker, often overshadows Malone because Walker's business remains successful and more widely known. Walker is often credited as the originator of the black beauty and cosmetic business and the direct distribution and sales agent system that Malone actually developed. You see, many historians believe Malone deserves more credit for her devotion to helping African Americans gain financial independence and her generous donations to educational, civic, and social causes. On May 10th, 1957, Annie Turnbull Malone 87 years of age, was treated for a stroke at Providence Hospital right here in Chicago, where she died. And at the time of her death, Puro Beauty Colleges were in operations in more than 30 U.S. cities. Her legacy still lives on. St. Louis honors her memory with the Annie Malone Children and Family Service Center, whose mission is to improve the quality of life for children, families, elderly, and the community by providing social services, educational programs, advocacy, and entrepreneurships. I tell you, this lady was an amazing lady to me. And often when I tell her story, I'm always honored. You see, I'm always honored to tell her story because, you know, in life, you give so many credit to Mary Kay for creating this in the cosmetic industry. Because no one knows Annie Malone. You see, we say Madam C.J. Walker, and I give all honor to Madam C.J. Walker for doing the work to become a millionaire. But Annie Malone was really the first African-American self-made millionaire. And I just want to bring exposure and bring a platform for her life so that we can know our own history. And so as you move throughout life and you get to tell your children stories about our history, don't forget to talk about Annie Malone as we talk about the Mary Bacalls, the Sojourner Truth, the Harriet Tubmans, and Madam C.J. Walker. Don't forget Annie Malone. You know, sometimes we say Madam Walker actually created the hot comb. But we really learned today that this beautiful lady put all this together. And this is a very interesting process back in the early 1914s, you know, where we as African Americans, there were still slaves. Can you imagine a lot of people still slaves, but up there in 19, she was driving Rolls Royces? It just tells you something about money and the mindset. When there were still blacks walking around as slaves, she had created this amazing business. And just so we know how the beautiful Madam C.J. Walker came, Sarah Breedlove was known as Sarah Breedlove back in Atlanta, and her parents had passed away. And when her parents passed away, she moved to St. Louis to be with her brothers, who actually was working for Annie Malone at the time. They were barbers in Annie Malone's beauty college. And so she started being a part of her brother's life. She ended up being a part of learning the business that Madame Poirot, that's what they call Annie Malone, Madame Poirot. And she became a part of that. And she ended up meeting a guy named Charles J. Walker, who was an advertising agent. Sarah Breedlove married him, which changed her name to Madam C.J. Walker. And the rest is history. You know what she left to do. And she became a millionaire as well. So I'm just excited to bring to you two beautiful women who created such powerful information of beauty. And just think about the whole 75,000 women around the world learned how to create their own businesses around the world, including Africa, Philippines, and Caribbean areas. That's Madame Poirot, also known as Annie Malone, Annie Turnbull Malone, and that's who we feature today on A Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. You know, when we think about, I think about Napoleon Hill's stepmother. You see, when Napoleon Hill tells the story of her determination to release poverty in her speech. And so some of you, I may have already heard this story, but I'm going to go back over it because I think it's so important for us to think about. Napoleon Hill said, when I was a small boy, I heard a very dramatic speech on the subject of poverty. I bring this story because you think about it, 1900s, when Annie Malone decides to bring this beautiful idea into the planet, what it must have taken from her to go to, and no high school education. Think about the subject of poverty. And she came, her parents died, and she grew up in with her auntie. She took what she understood about chemistry and the herbs and began to bring her gifts and her talents to the planet. So when we think of the subject of poverty, which made a lasting impression, Napoleon Hill said on his mind, he said, "I'm sure that speech was responsible for my determination to master poverty. Despite the fact that I had been born in poverty and had never known anything except poverty, the speech came from my stepmother shortly after she came to our home and took over one of the most forlorn, poverty-stricken places that I had ever known." And here's the speech that Napoleon Hill gave. "You see, this place which we call home is a disgrace to all of us. It's a handicap for our children. You see, we are all able-bodied people, and there's no need for us to accept poverty when we know that it is the result of nothing but laziness or indifference. If we stay here and accept the conditions under which we now live, our children will grow up and accept these conditions also. You see, I don't like poverty. I do not like poverty, and I have never accepted poverty as my lot, and I shall not accept it now. Now, for the moment, I do not know what our first steps will be in our break for freedom from poverty, but this much I do know. We shall make," she's now listen to this, "we shall make that break successful. No matter how long it may take or how many sacrifices we may have to make, I intend that our children shall have the advantage of good education, but more than this, I intend that they shall be inspired with the ambition to master poverty. You see, poverty is a disease which, once it is accepted, becomes a fixation which it is hard to shake off. It is no disgrace to be born in poverty, but it most decidedly is a disgrace to accept this birthright as irrevocable. We live in the richest and the greatest country civilization has yet produced. Here, opportunity beckons to everyone who has the ambition to recognize and embrace it. And as far as this family is concerned, if opportunity does not beckon to us, we shall create our own opportunity to escape this sort of life. You see, poverty is like creeping paralysis. Slowly, it destroys the desire for freedom. It strips one of the ambition to enjoy better things of life and undermines personal initiative. Also, it conditions one's mind for the acceptance of myriads of fears, come on now, including the fear of ill health, the fear of criticism, and the fear of physical pain. Our children are too young to know the dangers of accepting poverty as their lot, but I shall see to it that they are made conscious of these dangers, and I shall see to it also that they become prosperity conscious, that they expect prosperity and become willing to pay the price of prosperity." He goes on to say, I've quoted this speech from memory, but it is substantially what my stepmother said to my father in my presence. And shortly after they were married, that first step in the break from poverty, which she mentioned in her speech, came when my stepmother inspired my father to enter Louisville Dental College and become a dentist and pay for his training with the life insurance money that she received from the death of her first husband. You see, when the income from that investment in my father, she sent her three children and my younger brother through college and started each of them on the road to mastery of poverty. As for myself, she was instrumental in placing me in a position where the late Andrew Carnegie gave me an opportunity such as no other author ever received, an opportunity which permitted me to learn from more than 500 of the top-ranking successful men who collaborated with me in giving the world a practical philosophy of personal achievement, a philosophy based on the know-how of my collaborators gained from their lifetime experiences. Comes from page 75 through 77 in a book called You Can Work Your Own Miracles by Napoleon Hill. Again, the book is called You Can Work Your Own Miracles, and it's on page 75 through 77. And I posted it on the Love Journey too. But I wanted to recall that. Some of you all may remember when we talked about that before. And I also wanted to bring it to maybe those who may not have heard it, to all our new callers. But I want you to think about poverty and what she said. When we think about the development of our consciousness, we do learn when we grow up in a poverty-minded environment how to live in poverty. And then we might grow from poverty to a struggle environment, and then we go from struggling to maybe even just surviving. It was amazing. I was having a conversation with Queen Mother the other day, and we were talking about the different levels that you go through. You may make six figures, but then you find yourself living beyond your means, even at six figures, because we're so used to the idea of struggle or surviving that we live, no matter how much we make, at that kind of mentality. So I bring this conversation to us to think about this. Where in our own minds are we creating and recreating the cycle of what we've learned through our own fears, through our own understanding, our conditioning? So I'm going to go back over some things that a millionaire that I've been sitting down with. I tell you, it's really interesting when you sit with millionaires and hear their perspective. I told you last week that one of the millionaires said you got to forgive everything. He said forgiveness is the foundation of all wealth. He said if you build wealth on anything other than building first, working with your forgiveness, he said it will fold. That was an interesting concept that he gave us, that the foundation of wealth is forgiveness. But when I go back over the guy before, which was Mr. Bowling, he said to me these four things, and I know I said it to you once, but I really think about the first thing he said. When I asked him, what does it take to move from the space of lack into the place of more than enough, the first thing he said is courage. So I was like, oh, okay, courage. He said, but not courage like the way you think. Many people have courage to take risks and do it. He said, but it takes courage to release the thoughts that you've been taught about money and how to navigate with money. It takes courage to release and move past what you've learned and been conditioned to believe. He said, you really have to let go of your own belief system about money and just allow the presence of wealthy people, if you're around those, or just go into the presence of the mighty I Am consciousness and ask the Holy Spirit to release your thoughts and the memory and the data and the pattern and information that's been stored even in your organs, your body, your cells, how you respond when money is in the picture or not in the picture. Those are important things, he said. He said it takes courage to move past those belief systems that we've been conditioned from years and years and years, even ancestral beliefs. And I was like, wow. It takes courage, he said, to move past the fact that you may even be more successful than your brothers and sisters and your mom and your dad. He said people feel guilty about success. So the first thing he said is courage. And I go back over it because sometimes we need redundancy to really hone in on what's being said. Courage. So I really want you to think about, do you have the courage to stretch your belief system into getting yourself in a not knowing place, to open yourself to knowing? Are you willing to stretch your mind, your beliefs, your thoughts, and things that you've been conditioned to believe in money, to move yourself into how to think and move into a space to really develop a consciousness of millions of dollars or whatever level, you know, it doesn't matter, $100,000, $1 million, $1 billion, whatever your thought process is. Do you really have the courage? And I really want you to think about that word, not the courage just to have an idea and bring it out and manifest it, but the courage to really develop and change your thinking about money. He said, as African Americans, this is the second thing he said. He said, as African Americans, we have come to a place where we know how to make money. He said, we know how to make money. He said, but we don't know how to let our money make money for us. Come on, y'all. Have we learned the game where we can sleep and our money making money? He said, because as long as you have to physically move to make a dollar, exchange your physical energy for a dollar, you will continue to move and perpetuate your life that way. But he said, when you can maneuver your life and navigate yourself into a place where your money is making money. Come on, money making money. You know how Reverend Knight said, money making money. When your money is making money, then you've moved into a place where you can really establish a legacy and a foundation of wealth. Now, the other two things that he said was really kind of esoteric for a lot of people to really get. So, you know, his family was a long line of farmers. He said that once we learn how to let our money make money for us, he said, but we also need to learn how to make a relationship with money. He said, as soon as we get our money, he said, we play the, how do you say, we play the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and everybody, as soon as the money comes in, we send it right back out. He said, if you don't spend time with your money, how are you going to have a relationship with your money? You might be like, what? A relationship? Yes, spending some time with your money. Now, this is the part that really might trip you out, but it seems really interesting. He said, and take your money. This is the fourth thing he said, is speak to your money. He said, speak to your money and then sit still and let your money speak to you. He said, sit still with your money and listen to your money. It will tell you how to move it, navigate it, invest it so that you can multiply it. He said, just like the plant spoke to George Washington Carver, money will speak to you. Come on, money, speak to me today. Come on, money, speak to me. He said, money will speak to you. He attributes all of his success and all the millions of dollars to being still and letting his money lead him and guide him. Today, family, the reason why I started the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous is because when we know our next door neighbors and ordinary people doing extraordinary things could do it, it gives us a thought process where if she could take an idea of beauty industry and cosmetics and turn it into millions of dollars, I can do that. And so I just wanted you to think about some of the ways that some people have developed millions of dollars. Now, we've talked about the super soaker, we've talked about inventions, we talked about ideas, we talked about restaurants, we talked about many things. The circus, the guy who started the Cirque du Soleil, even the river dance, even the Universal Circus. I say this to you today because I want you to really think about your relationship and how to mess. I'm not going to call master poverty. I'm going to say master wealth. A lot of us come from way behind the eight ball. Some of us come a little bit further ahead. But we all have the opportunity to create a wealth, a legacy to leave for our family. So today, family, I really want you to sit back, think about, spend some time, journal, ask yourself, where do I need to cleanse, renew, and open myself to a new way of thinking? You know, I sat and thought about my own fears and energy and my own cells of my body, the memory of my own relationship and information that's been stored. I prayed over and I asked the universe, come Holy Spirit, and release in my mind any information, any data, any patterns, anything that's stored in my mind that remembers anything other than the truth. And I asked my mind to get in true alignment of abundance. And I went to my heart and asked my heart, if there's any information, any unforgiveness, any data, anything that's in there that needs to be removed, remove it right now, Holy Spirit, and renew the right spirit in me right now, God, to open my heart to receive the knowing of the truth that I am perfect, whole, and complete, that it can be raised to the higher vibration of a true alignment of what it means to bring success and wealth into my experience, lasting wealth. And then I went to my sales and asked myself, what memories and data, what information has been stored in you today that I can release? And I asked myself, to Holy Spirit, to cleanse the cells in my body so that it can be renewed to the true alignment, to the true perfect understanding of abundance. I even went to my organs, because our organs hold, like the kidneys hold anger and fear. They say liver holds memories of those things. So I went to each one of my organs and talked to my organs. I really want us to come to, now you don't have to do that if that's not something that fits or feels good to you, but I'm saying to you that poverty has a memory. Cycles of money have a memory. Our relationship to how we've learned to deal with money, our fears, or whatever we have a memory that's been stored inside of us from our childhood, from pregnancy, and even ancestral. So these are some of the things that sitting with different millionaires have shared with me, and I'm bringing it back. Because my goal is to bring anything and any information that I can share with you that I think can make a transformation or a difference in your life, I will share it. Because my goal is that we all become and live the life that we want to live, and that we can create wealth to live a legacy, leave a legacy for our children and our children's children, and it can continue to move on and on and on, even when our life physically is not on the planet. But I believe when we begin to master money and master wealth, we can change the climate and the culture, the climate and the culture of our own communities. We can create centers for our youth, educational empowerment places for our women, amazing centers for our young boys and men to get involved. And then we won't have to look to the government, the mayor, the alderman, no one, because we can bring forth what it is we need for our own community. And we can teach our youth that's coming behind us those same principles so they don't have to experience the idea of anything other than prosperous living. So these lifestyle of the rich and the not so famous and on Mondays, and the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe is really to really give us an opportunity to see our own personal relationship, how to shift it, transform it, and move it to the level that we can share with our own children and our children's children so that we can leave a powerful legacy. And so that's my story. And that's why I chose to bring Annie Malone to us today. Any questions, comments, or concerns, please star 6. And if you're on Blog Talk, press the 1 and let me know that you have a question or you want to make a comment if you're on the blog talk. Good morning, family. You tuned in to The Love Journey. Welcome to The Love Journey. Any questions, comments, concerns? All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming to The Love Journey today. Let me just check blog talk on. No questions, no comments. All right. Well, that is the lesson today on the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. That's Annie Malone, family. I want you to Google her, find out more about her, and let's let her legacy be known in our community. A beautiful, powerful sister, Annie Malone. Yes. That happened to be from our own community. All right, I also want to just send some love out to our very own, if you're from Chicago, you know who I'm talking about, legendary Herb Kent, to family and friends. He passed away Saturday night, my mentor in the radio. He spent 72 years in radio, a legend in the radio industry. Can you imagine? He was in the Guinness Book of World Records. He has been inducted into the Hall of Fame with Prince and different people. So today we want to send lots of love to his family and friends as he has moved on to the next part of his life, whatever that looks like. He's no longer in the physical presence. We want to send lots of love and light. Just want to remind you today, family, to remember that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember, family, to choose love, because love is the only choice. And remember, family, that to dream your God-sized dreams is not enough. It's to live them. And we're going to live our God-sized dreams. I want you to have fun doing it. And know that you deserve all the great success. Let's listen to The Mindset Behind Success. We're going to play some music. You go forth and have a great day. And I love you. I see you in the morning.
What do you want out of life?
I don't know. To be happy?
To be happy.
I want the American dream. I want to be happy.
I am the only problem I will ever have. And I am the only solution. I am the only problem I will ever have, and I am the solution.
Well, I mean, positively or negative, I mean, you attract, not just what you fear, you attract what you feel, what you are, what you attract.
What's on your mind.
It's like
exactly.
The law of physics. I don't know how anybody can disagree with that. Ask any physicist, they'll tell you that it's true.
I become what I think about all day long. And once you know that what you think about is what expands, you start getting real careful about what you think about. You don't allow your thoughts to be on anything that you don't want, or that you wouldn't want to have manifest or show up for you in your life.
You know, I believe in the law of attraction, and I believe that that you can speak things into existence. And I believe that when you know where you're going and you know what you want, the universe has a way of stepping aside for you.
You have to understand, you are a man.
It's our intention. Our intention is everything. Nothing happens on this planet without it. Not one single thing has ever been accomplished without intention.
Einstein's most famous quotes, he said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world. Logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere.
I think my imagination has always kept me going, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, just imagine myself collecting awards. Just imagine myself, you know what I mean, getting big parts. Imagine myself working with the greatest actors. Everybody can imagine themselves, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know,
what? Actually, yeah, I could see myself, you know, being an influencer in clothes, you know what I mean? Because I can make that happen. I can make that happen.
You got to understand something about like attracts like. If you see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand.
If you can see it here, and you have the courage enough to speak it, it will happen.
You are a magnet. Whatever you are, that's what you draw to you. If you're negative, you're going to draw negativity. You're positive, you draw positive. You're a kind person, more people are kind to you.
This is the law of attraction, man. You have to, in the struggle, you know, when things are going good and you visualize these good things happening, you visualize more good things happening, that's easy. What's not easy to do is when things are going bad and you're visualizing the good stuff.
That's what freezes people. When you're trying to figure out your life all the way to the end, when you can't figure it out, it freezes you from trying it because you go, oh, well, I can't figure that out. Oh, I can't go over there because I don't know how. You don't have to know how. You have to ask, believe, and receive.
Don't allow anybody else's opinions. Don't allow what it says on the internet. Don't allow the research. Don't allow what anybody out there tells you is possible or not possible for you. There are many ways to get the things that we want for ourselves in our lives. But basically, it all begins with how we choose to think.
I visualize, I'm sitting here holding the steering wheel, visualizing a brand new car, and visualizing good things in times of struggle. And that when you can do that, I think that really makes that law of attraction work. I think it really attracts to you more.
I very often watch a lot of young people sort of meander around without any idea about why they're doing what they're doing. I mean, to want and to be ambitious and to want to be successful is not enough.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you planned them. But I believe God and time are synonymous. And through time, God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention.
Thank you so much.